Have some visitors from Texas. Is that over here? Okay. Good to have you all. What part of Texas y'all from?
East Texas.
East Texas? Okay. Good to have you all. Good to have. Any other first-time visitors? I didn't. Trying to get through the announcements, so sometimes I forget. Any other first-time visitors? Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the text here. I think we left off in about verse 44. Now, we're up here in Antioch of Pisidia. Okay. Remember, this is Galatia here. This whole thing here is Asia Minor or Turkey nowadays. Okay, just for orientation, got the seven churches of Asia Minor over here. This is Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. This is their first one, so they're up here in Antioch of Pisidia. He just got done preaching. Okay, and so this is what takes place in verse 44. It says, and the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city together came the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. All right, so anytime the preaching of the word goes out, there's going to be some sort of pushback. Just like I just told you what happened yesterday, that is a real thing. It happens every single time. So you just, if you go into a gunfight, expect to get shot. I mean, it's just going to happen. Okay, the world hates the preaching of the word and they hate Jesus Christ. Okay, and so it says here in verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. All right, so this is where one of the statements in the book of Acts, he says, we turn to the Gentiles. Remember that word of God started where at? Down here in Jerusalem, and then it goes to Judea, Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, and the Holy Spirit moves from east to west. So he started out here. All right, they stoned Stephen in Jerusalem. There's no more miracles that are going to be done after Acts chapter 7 in Jerusalem. All right, so that word begins to go this way. He's sending Paul and Barnabas, and he's opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. Okay, and so they're here in Galatia. All right, and they're dealing with Jews once again. All right, and so he says it was necessary that it first be preached to you, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That is the order, okay? That Jew gets first dibs, if you will. Why is that? Well, the oracles of God were given to the Jew. They weren't given to the Gentile, okay? So they get the first shot at it, okay? But you better be careful with what you do with the word. All right, and so he says now it's gone to the Gentiles, so we're going to go from east to west, and the next time he's going to be over here in Corinth, in Greece, when he says that, okay? Yeah, anybody familiar with the Reformation, 1517, Martin Luther? Okay, we got some history people in here. Where did that start at? Germany, right? Wittenberg and some of those areas. Okay, where'd your King James Bible come from? From England, right? So you see how it started down here in Jerusalem, then comes up here to Asia Minor, then goes over here to Europe. And then 1453, when the Ottoman Turks came in and sacked Constantinople, and a lot of your Greek manuscripts that your King James and the Luther Bible and those came from that eastern branch of the Orthodox Church. Up here, Erasmus gets that text, and Luther gets his from Erasmus, and he translates the New Testament from Greek into German, okay, in 1521, and you got your New Testament. The Germans got the New Testament in their language, and then it went from there. Then you've got Tyndale and some of those other men over in England. See how it's the Holy Spirit's moving east to west? Okay, now somebody just mentioned to me before about the Great Awakening movement that just came out. Who was that about? George Whitefield. Okay, where did that start? On the east coast of the United States. Now we're way over here. Which way did that move? East to west. Then you had a second Great Awakening. It never moves from west to east. You're not going to see revival come from California back over here to the East Coast. Why? Because that's not how the Holy Spirit moves. Are you seeing the pattern? Okay, when Paul wanted to go and he wanted to go up in this area in Acts 16, who forbid him to go up there? The Holy Spirit, right? So you can see the moving of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see it east to west. Amen? That's just a principle laid down from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Okay, so that's what's taking place here in verse 46. He says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. We turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. See that? The uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? He's fulfilling that commission the Lord told him to do. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, that's a great Calvinist proof text. Okay? And that's we got to dig into that just a little bit here. But I want you to notice up there in verse 46 when he says, "But ye, seeing yourselves, put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." All right? So it matters what you do, doesn't it? It matters what you do. We've been through this a bunch of times in Romans chapter 2. But let's go back here to the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel. Look at chapter 2. This is the song of Hannah. There are some principles laid down in the Old Testament that you need to pay attention to. Look at 2:1, 1 Samuel 2:1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." So who's the rock? Jesus Christ. It ain't Peter. All right. "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." You see that? So it matters what you do. All right, so you've got one group. Let's flip this board. So the word of God is going out. You've got one group here. You've got Jew. And then you've got Gentile. Did they receive a different word? They got the same word. This group heard the word. This group rejected the word. Could they have received the word? They could have. But God weighs your actions. We had a guy yesterday, I was preaching, and I asked, anybody saved out here? A couple of the folks under the bridge raised their hand. Yeah, we're saved, you know, and they might well very well be saved. And I talked to him afterwards, but there was another guy. I said, anybody not saved? Guy raised his hand. Okay. Got done preaching. Sam came over to me and said, hey, you going to talk to that guy? I said, yeah, I'm going to go talk to him. Give it a minute. So we went over. I walked over to him, and I began to talk to him. I said, hey, where are you going to spend eternity? I don't want to hear it. I said, well, you said you weren't saved or that you wanted to be saved. He said, no, I said I wasn't saved. I said, do you want to be saved? No, I don't want anything to do with it. No, don't waste your time on me. No, I don't want anything to... He just kept rejecting everything I was saying. Was I preaching the same word? Yeah, what'd he do? He rejected it. He deemed himself unworthy of everlasting life. It's not the word that's the problem. It's the heart that has to receive it. So that thing goes out. So God weighs the actions. And so, well, let's go back to Romans 2. I can't go over through this enough times, because when you're dealing with people, okay, sometimes, and a lot of times people ask me, how'd it go yesterday, the street preaching, this and that. It always goes good. Why? Because the word went forth. We don't street preach because we want results. We street preach because it's right. Results are up to God and not up to me. Okay, our job is just to preach it. Look at Romans 2 once again. Look at verse 6. Now look at verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." So this is some person who's holding up wrath and treasuring up in their heart, who is mad at God for the revelation that's going to take place. That's second advent, right? "Who will render to every man according to his" what? Deeds. Just like you read in 1 Samuel. He weighs the hearts. What you do matters. "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." That's these Gentiles here in Acts 13. Okay, they've been coming to the synagogue. They've been listening every Sabbath day to the law being read. This is the first time that they've heard Paul preach the gospel. The gospel that you and I are saved by. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. "For by grace through faith are you saved." Right? Free gift. Okay? All right, now look down here at verse 8. "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, indignation, and wrath." That's what they get. tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Okay, so once again, they all heard the same message. Some reject it, some hear it. But don't blame God because you wound up in hell. They were without excuse, Romans 1:20. God reveals himself through his creation and prophecy. And if you can't see that, then you're blind as a bat coming in backwards. Spiritually blinded. All right, so they're contentious. Did they contend with Paul? They sure did. Okay, so guess what they get? Indignation and wrath. And that's what you're seeing in Acts 13. He says, okay, you deem yourself unworthy. All right, let's look at this unworthy thing. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Here's a good case. Letting the scripture define itself. Luke 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. Now that centurion, is he Jew or Gentile? Gentile, right? He's a Roman. Roman soldier. And when he had heard of Jesus, notice the hearing, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Why? For he loved our nation, loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Does that work? Does that get him saved? No, but it sure gets him to light, doesn't it? All right, keep reading. For when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. So you see the humbleness. Amen. God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace unto the humble. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. See the faith? See the humbleness? See the good works? He was worthy. All right, now let's go to Luke 10. You're going to see this here. Look at Luke 10. This is the commissioning of the 70. All right, after the 12, Matthew 10 is the commissioning of the 12. And here's 70 others. Let's go down to verse 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you, and thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Now who said that? The Lord did. You think it's a big deal when people reject God's word? Okay, now go to Matthew chapter 10. A lot of folks that reject God's word, and it's not going to be pretty for them. Now, this is the commissioning of the 10. Now, this is where he says in verse 5, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They get the first dibs. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely you get, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? This is the, we've been through this 1,000 times, a kingdom is being offered to that Jew. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide until ye go thence. And he says, and when ye come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return from you. All right, so their works matched, and it was worthy. God said, get them the word. But if it's not, better, it's better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them in that day, because they rejected the word. Okay, you remember the spies that went into Jericho? Who did they find? They found one harlot. She entered into their house. She said, peace be unto you. See the type? That's what's going to take place. God sent his special forces in there to do a little reconnaissance mission. I said, here, and she said, hey, we've heard of you. Come into my house. I don't want nothing to do with that. I'll take care of you. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the tribulation. That Gentile is going to take care of that Jew. That house was worthy. And there's that scarlet thread. See the good works? Okay. Now these others that reject it, now here's the Jew. And they've got the word, they've got the oracles of God, and here it is, and they're rejecting it. Now here's these Gentiles. They were worthy. Why? They were doing good things. God said, get them the word. Now, let's go back to Acts 13. Are you seeing the principle? Are you seeing Romans 2 play it out for you? That's why Paul's writing that. Listen, Paul was not just a theologian sitting in some air-conditioned room with a Coke machine. He was out there pounding the streets. He was out there on the Romans road, and he was a missionary. He was planting churches. He was dealing with people. You'd get an education, I'm telling you right now, you'll get an education dealing with people in real time. It'll challenge your theology or what you think is theology. Amen? And Paul is sitting, he's dealing, he has the experience. He's dealing with it. Now go back to over here. Look at verse 47. 13:47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All right, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 11, in whom we also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, notice this, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. What had to take place first? Hearing. Well, how shall they hear without a preacher? But how shall they preach except they be sent? So it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. Do you understand the importance of preaching? So without the preaching of the word, how are they going to get saved? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. What? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, he said, I'm the light of the world, and you're to carry forth the light where you're at. So how are your co-workers going to hear without you preaching? That doesn't mean that you have to be up here behind the pulpit, but you can sure witness to people. You can sure tell them what happened to you. What's a testimony? It's just something that happened to me. If I'm sitting in a court of law, and I have to get up at the witness stand, I have to give a testimony of what I saw. What took place? Witnessing is just simply telling people what Jesus Christ did for you. It's that simple. How do you witness? Just tell them what happened to you. If you're saved, then something happened to you. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. Okay? And so that's what you're seeing there. That's what's taking place. So after they heard the word, okay? They were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right, so look at back at Acts 13. So the ordained, are there ordained ministers that get out of the ministry? Sure, they get caught up in something. They didn't keep their body under subjection. They work tempered in all things. They become a castaway in their ministry. That doesn't mean they're not saved, but you can be ordained to get kicked out of the ministry. So ordination is not necessarily like a Calvinist would look at it, say, oh, they were irresistible grace and tulip and all total depravity and all the stuff that they talk. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with those works. They heard the word, they received. The others heard the word, they rejected. It's that simple. It's free will. God does not mess with your free will. Everybody has a choice. Do you want the light? He'll give you more light. If you don't want the light, he's a perfect gentleman. He'll let you go to hell any way you want to. He will. Amen. God is not going to break his word, this book. He's not going to go against this book. He's not going to force it upon you. If you don't want it, okay, go to hell. Hard to say. Well, my cousin, after my uncle died a couple weeks ago, was having a hard time with the fact where he thought, well, did I do everything I could for my dad to make sure he was saved? I said, probably not. None of us do. But I tell you who did. Jesus Christ did. He did everything he possibly could. And you live in America where there you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a church and there's a steeple somewhere. Don't tell me that you don't know Jesus Christ. In this country, you're without excuse. So anytime the devil wants to come around and start beating you up, because none of us can do, we cannot save our family members. I cannot force it upon them. Most times in your family, they won't listen to you anyways. Why? Because they say, well, I knew you back when you were such and such. All right, yeah, but you no longer know me after the flesh. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. They don't want to hear that. That's why you have a better chance with a stranger than you do your own family. But they're still without excuse. Amen? All right, so let's go back over here. They're ordained to eternal life and believed. Verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men in the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. So here's the big shots. Here's the Chamber of Commerce. Here's all the ones that had the money. So they stirred them up, right? But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, just like Matthew 10 and Luke 10. They shook off their dust, the dust off their feet. When somebody calls in some complaint that we are too loud, you think I argue with the police? No. They're ordained of God. Those powers are ordained of God. Right? That's Romans 13. I used to carry a badge for a living. You're not going to argue with me if I'm in that position of authority and I'm telling you to do something. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to move you. Okay? I'm not going to, so the police come and they say, hey, y'all need to move. I say, okay, dust off my feet, moving on. Just like Paul did. If you don't want to hear it, that's fine by me. I got better things to do on a Saturday. I'll go cut the grass or something. I mean, that's just the plain honest truth. So he dust your feet off, move on. All right. He tells them over there in Titus, but a man after the that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, you try to deal with him twice. Guy's still a heretic. Move on. Sit there and argue with him. Amen? All right, so they come to Iconium. Let's flip the board over. So they come from Antioch of Pisidia. Now they come over here to Iconium. Notice the root word is icon. Okay, that's where they supposedly believe that some gods came from outer space down to man. Does that sound familiar? We're going to get into it. All right, Genesis chapter 6, right? So they're coming down here to Iconium. Oh, let me go back to, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, notice that. They're being persecuted, yet they're filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. So you see how those are synonymous? Well, what's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay? So if somebody is full of the Holy Ghost, they're going to be full of joy. even though they might be getting persecuted. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Paul, how could Paul be sitting in a Roman prison and have the joy of the Lord? Because he's in the will of God. Remember Peter and James, Peter and John outside the synagogue when they got persecuted? Look back at Acts chapter, I think it's 5. Might be Acts, yeah, here it is. Acts 5:41. This is when they leave from the council. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They said, we ought to do what God says, not what man says. They had joy, right? So they're full of the Holy Ghost over here in Acts 13. So they leave Antioch of Pisidia and they come down here to Iconium. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Okay, so they come first to the synagogue, they go to the Jew first. That's the order. And there's Greeks or Gentiles in there, and they believe as well. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So they're subverting the hearers. They're coming in here and they're sowing discord. God hates that. Okay, and they're coming against the preaching of the Word of God. All right. Long time, it says, verse 3, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, who were signs and wonders and miracles for? Jews, right? So why were those granted? Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not for the believing, but for the unbelieving, right? So, there's unbelieving Jews present there at Iconium. God grants them signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because they're hard-headed. Because they got to see something. They can't just hear it. They got to see it. See how hard-hearted some people are? You got to break them. They got to see something. Remember Doubting Thomas? He wouldn't believe till he saw something. See the problem with that Jew right now? They're blinded. They got to see something. Right? Until the scales fall from their eyes, right? So that there's the signs, wonders, and miracles. But look at verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. All right? So there's division. You divided, there's division. God's a divider. You're to rightly divide the word of truth. God saw that it was good. He divided the light from the darkness. He divides truth from error. Amen? Look at Matthew chapter 10. Well, I thought we're supposed to all get together and sing Kumbaya. You're reading the wrong Bible. Look at Matthew 10. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying this. Look at 34. Not me. This isn't my version. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. All right, let's go to Luke 12. Correlating passage, Luke 12. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. Truth always divides. Look at John 10. Look at John 10. You want to know why some of these churches are so big? Because there's no truth being preached. The more people, the less truth. The more truth, the less people. How many folks did the Lord have at the end of his ministry? You had John and some women. How many people did Paul have with him at the end of his ministry? He said, but all men forsook me because of persecution. They were offended at the word. And the Lord tells them that in Matthew 13 in the parables. Right? Where am I at? Luke 10. Look down here at Luke 10, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. All right? He's the good shepherd. All right? He said, I am the door. He's the good shepherd. That's doctrine. They don't like that. There's division. Many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Where hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? See the division? So you got two parts. One says he has a devil. The other says he can't have a devil. Right? Somewhere in the there's the truth somewhere in, right? And it was at the dedication, was at Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. See the signs, wonders, and miracles? Amen. He said, what he's doing, it bears witness, does it not? All right, now he says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, but as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know what they do? Look at verse 31. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. There's the truth. See how he divides? You ever wonder if you're in a crowd of people, or maybe you're at the workplace, and people might be talking about God. It's all good. But the moment you say Jesus Christ, boy, it gets tight, doesn't it? People get real tight. Why do you think that is? Because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And see, when you lift up Jesus Christ, it shows everybody else's inadequacies. Because everybody, whether they want to, well, in this country, whether they want to admit that or they know who Jesus Christ is, and it convicts them. Go to John 3. You ever wonder why the Declaration of Independence in our Constitution doesn't have Jesus Christ in it? In God we trust, all this kind of... Yeah, but they're a bunch of deists. Most of them were. They weren't Bible believers. They were wrapped up in philosophical ideas about a government. They got that from Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and some of the other men down through the years. They didn't say Jesus Christ. Look at John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't like it. He's a divider. He divides people. We're not to get together with a bunch of unbelievers and start to get along, and so, because what's going to happen if you, just like I preached on the, I think it was Sunday, and I don't even know what day it is now, but when I preached about that thing, talking about you better be careful who you marry. Because you evil communication corrupts good manners. You start hanging around the wrong people, you'll start to conform to their image. So you ought not, he said, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because what will happen is you'll start to look at some of their personality traits and say, well, I kind of like them. You know, they're not a bad guy. Yeah, and that stuff will start rubbing off on you, and then you'll be like the Benjamites hanging out there in Gibeah and defending the Sodomite. That's what happened there. So God's a divider. You see it right here once again in Iconium. They're divided. Go back to Acts 14. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and to the region that lieth round about. Okay. So now things are starting to heat up. If that doesn't prove your ministry, I don't know what does. When people start hating what you're preaching, that's a good thing. John said yesterday, some guy told me to F off. I said, well, that's good. That means you're doing something right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what they're doing here. Iconium, Lystra. Now they're going down here to Derbe. Amen. All right, so that's what's taking place. You see here in Paul's ministry, he's receiving persecution, which is a good thing. Because why? It's proving what God said in John 17. He said the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. Amen. All right, let's go down. There they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man, a Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith, had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up right on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. So that he heals the lame man, just like Peter does. This man, he looked at him, he's preaching to him, he says, that guy has the faith to be healed. And he uses him as an illustration. There's a sign, wonder, and a miracle done right in front of all those Jews. This man just leaped up and walked, just like out there outside the gate, or outside the temple, when Peter, arise up and walk. There's the witness, right? The same heard Paul, or that here, verse 11. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Oh, here we go. All right. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius, and because he was the chief speaker, then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. All right. So, what's this world expecting? Somebody come from outer space to come down to man. Did that take place before? Genesis chapter 6. The sons of God came into the daughters of men. Where do you think you get titans? Where do you think you get giants? Where do you think you get all these things from? It's not just made up. It's not just a myth. Okay? It's not the sons of Seth, as some of the brethren like to say. What's it say in Genesis 6? The sons of God, which are the ones that shouted for joy in Job 38. Before the foundation of the earth were laid. All right, so you got Jupiter and you got Mercurius, okay? Jupiter is the supreme god in their case, all right? And then you have Mercurius, he's the chief speaker, he's the herald, he's the one who comes before this one. Now in Latin, this is Hove, okay? In Greek, it's Zeus. Okay, and all the new Bibles are not going to have Jupiter, they're going to have Zeus. They don't translate this thing as Jupiter. Because this one's Latin, this is the Roman God, this is the Greek God. Everybody's heard of Zeus. All right? Now here, look at Acts 19:35. Now this was the predominant God in that area of Lystra. There was a statue of that God, Hove, or it's very kin to Jehovah. Okay, and it was outside the gate there in Lystra. Let's look at Acts 19:35, and it said Jupiter on it. Acts 19:35, when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" See that? Same thing again. So the world is waiting for somebody to show up from the biggest planet, which is Jupiter, okay? Mercurius is going to be his chief speaker. You're going to have a false prophet that shows up, and he's going to be the herald for this guy, Revelation 13, 10 through 17. All right? Now notice the counterfeit, what Satan does, what the Lord has already done. The Lord has a chief speaker. He had somebody herald before he shows up, which is John the Baptist, which could have been Elias. Right? Aaron spoke for Moses. Exodus 4:16. So you better believe that Satan is going to try to counterfeit what the Lord's already done. Because that's what the world's expecting. All right, so you got that. This is Hermes in Greek. Okay, so you've heard of those. Zeus and Hermes, that's the same as Jupiter and Mercurius. All right, both gods are male. He has a spokesman, I just went through that. Exodus 4:16, Isaiah 41-8. And they have a priesthood. And that thing is connected to the bull, Baal. All right, remember in Exodus chapter 32, when Aaron made the golden calf, okay? And Elijah, he had some run-in with this priesthood, didn't he? 1 Kings chapter 18. Okay? He had 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove, and he cut off the 450 prophets of Baal. They're worshiping that bull. And who was the woman that was in charge? Jezebel. Remember her? She shows back up again in Revelation. Okay, so all this stuff is cyclical. All right, now let's look real fast at that bowl, the importance of it. Go back over here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. We'll run over a little bit of time, but I'll just take you through these verses. Ezekiel chapter 1. Look down at verse 10. This is these cherubim. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had also the face of an eagle. All right, so you got a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10. Scripture with scripture. Look at verse 14, talking about the same creatures. Notice how the scripture defines itself. And everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. And the second face was the face of a man. The third face, the face of a lion. And the fourth face, the face of an eagle. So therefore, what does a cherub look like? What does his face look like? An ox. Right? All right, go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Well, he's eating the very things that man came from. And he's a cursed above all cattle. So there's connection to this ox or this bull. Notice in Acts 14 what they sacrifice. Sacrifice an ox. And it's got horns. And it's a fire-breathing dragon. It's Job 42, Job 41. All right, so there's a connection here to that Baal, to that bull. Amen? There's a counterfeit. Because one of the sacrifices for sin is to bring out a bull. It's an ox. You know what a pastor is compared to? A pastor is compared to that ox. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. You see the counterfeit? So what Jesus Christ does, Satan always has a counterfeit. You couldn't tell sometimes between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil unless you had discernment from that book. Because that's what he's trying to mimic everything Jesus Christ does. He's the Antichrist. So when he shows up to this world, the world's going to accept him because they don't know the book. He said, behold, I've told you before. But they're judging after what they see, not what the Word of God says. That's why Satan attacks the Word of God. Because if you can attack the Word and you can tear it down and you become your own God, you get to decide what this book says and what it doesn't say. And here's the other thing. Notice how the King James Bible translates this thing, okay? This Zeus in Greek translates it as Jupiter and Mercurius, because these are Latin. This is the Roman God. Now, who's going to be in charge when Jesus Christ comes back? There's that whore, there's that woman. Rome. Not Greece, but Rome. Amen. Amen. See how accurate the book is? That's why you don't mess with it. Amen. All right, we're way over. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just do thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth you've given us. And we just pray for this morning service, Lord. Just pray for Brother Barry as he comes up and leads us singing. Pray for the preaching hour, Lord, and just pray for all those in attendance today. And I pray that anybody that's under the sound of my voice or comes in through those doors is not saved today. I'd pray that they'd be saved, Lord. I pray they'd hear something to prick their heart, that they'd be saved before it's everlasting too late. In Lord Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.